People listen to this podcast in many places. Hot places, cold places, but we prepare for it all.
And so do I.
It's more than just a podcast. It's football engineering. We're back in the studio for everyone's favourite podcast. Our favourite podcast. Yeah, it's the Football Sack Podcast. I'm your host, Jack Quigley. As always, with me is Christian Leyland.
Hello, football world.
It was very nice for Cristiano Ronaldo to take time from his Castrol ads and do our intro there today.
Yeah, no, he didn't charge any royalties either. I thought it was awesome.
Yeah, he's a really good guy. You know, people say he's really greedy, but no, he helped us out pretty well.
Good on him.
Big show. We've got a lot to discuss.
As always,
because we don't do filling time here. We've got the Socceroos from last night, well, earlier this morning. Obviously, the heartbreaking exit from the World Cup, but we'll go into why we're still proud of them. We thought they played really well. We'll talk about Germany getting through against Ghana. We'll look at the other matchups in the other group that was played last night. And we will look ahead to round of 16 matters. We'll also have our correspondence. We go through our and our domestic wrap of everything A-League related later in the show. So it's a huge show. Strap yourselves in. Let's get straight into it with the Socceroos from last night. Your thoughts on the game as a whole?
Gallant performance, yeah. Of course. Unlucky that we didn't get through, but we did all we could, and you couldn't ask more
from
the boys.
That's right. From the set, the last two games, we did about all we could. We played the best African team that's at the tournament, the Serbian team that topped a very tough group in World Cup qualifying, and beat them. And, you know, you don't want to be all about what-ifs, but, you know, if we just played the way we did last night against Germany instead of this bizarre team that nobody had ever heard of before, it could have been a very different story.
Yeah, it's a strange one. Like I said, it's a World Cup from Australia's perspective of what ifs.
Yeah,
we could have gone quite far, but we didn't. Yeah. It's it was the one match against Germany. If we had applied the same formation that not only did we play the other two matches, but through the whole qualification stage,
the last two years,
then I feel we could have. Things could have been a lot different.
Yeah, and we were sort of saying there's a little bit of sour grapes in the fact that Ghana haven't actually scored a goal from open play yet. They've had two penalties and they'll go through, and we scored two corkers last night, and we go home. But you know, we'll look forward to our next major tournament, the Asian Cup. You know, who's going to be around for that, etc. Before we do that, though, a few things from last night. We've I think the rest of Australia as well has joined us in being a little sceptical that the referees are against us at this tournament. Last night's foul count, 25-10 in favour of the Serbians. Were we 2.5 times dirtier than them?
Let's see. I really can't. I don't think so.
No, we weren't. No. We blatantly weren't. And it was frustrating because when we played Brazil at the last World Cup, we were on the end of a 25-9 foul count. And that was ridiculous. So this was almost as bad. And it just feels like when, you know, a referee has that bad a game against you, you do extremely well to win, because normally you just don't win those games. So well done to the boys. They play extremely well. And we were talking about individual performances. We thought Lucas Neal had his best game since the last World Cup.
Yeah, I think so. Within a country mile of any of his other performances,
yeah,
in the last
he was
4 years.
Awesome last night. Well played. Wilkshire was great. Bresciano was great. Even Holman added a hell of a lot, including a great goal when he came on. Well, Cahill was his normal self.
Holman's had a pretty good World Cup in general.
Yeah, we were saying Holman could be the Wilkshire of this World Cup. He was the bolter at the last World Cup and now an integral part of the team. So let's hope he goes on, develops himself as a footballer further, and he's part of our team at the next World Cup as a good player.
Yeah, let's hope so.
Let's also hope that Richard Garcia is not part of our campaign for the next World Cup, because he came on last night when I was thinking Rukavica was tailor-made for that last 15 minutes of the game. And he came on and didn't do anything.
It was a little bit TE terrible, wasn't he?
Yeah, TE terrible.
Yeah, it makes sense in my head.
Well, that's just terrible.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Surely it should be TE ribble.
Okay, cool. It was terrible.
Yeah.
It was terrible. He was as bad as that joke was.
Yours or mine?
Mine.
Yeah, okay, good. Yeah, yeah, because that was bad.
Yeah, I know. Well, what else do we do here at the Football Sack?
That's right, we do bad comedy well. We look ahead, of course, we're coachless now, the Socceroos.
Which, after the Germany game, was probably a nice thing.
Yeah, we're all enjoying the freedom. And the front runner for the next coaching position is Paul Le Guen.
Can I say yuck on this show?
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Yuck. We're gonna have, we'll delete that in the post production.
Yeah, if he comes along, I'll have to take a le nap for 4 years.
Oh, whoa, hello. Le, doing the French theme, the le. I see what you did there. I'm supposed to tell the bad jokes on this show.
I'm sorry.
Do you want to come
I'll leave the old dad jokes to you.
Do you want
to
come and sit in this chair? This is the bad joke chair. Yeah, Paul Le Guin, the man who, you know, was not good enough for Rangers in a two-team league in Scotland, the man who did nothing at Paris Saint-Germain when he went there, and the man who was coach of the first team to get knocked out of this World Cup. Yeah, let's go get him.
Wow, what a
great idea. He seems like the one to go for. The man who played Samuel Eto'o, Cameroon's best player, out wide on the right instead of up front where he should have been playing.
Yeah. So you should have played him up front, or if you wanted to get more involved, central midfield. He put him out in the middle of nowhere.
There was... that's not to say you can't be involved out in the wing. Like, you know, Matthew Etherington at West Ham used to say, oh, I never really got the ball much. I was often stuck out on the wing. George Best was stuck out on the wing. Ronaldo was stuck out on the wing.
Kiel stuck out.
Yeah,
the
exactly.
Wing.
Yeah, he made a good name for himself. Retirements. Who do we think will not play for Australia again?
Well, I can't see Craig Moore playing.
Craig Moore. We don't think Vince Guerrero.
We don't think Vince Guerrero is. It's going to be a little bit sad for me. He was my favourite Socceroo for years.
Was he?
He was.
Yeah, I always loved Vinny. He was just no nonsense, and
you
just knew he was always going to be very close to getting a red card, and I love that.
Mm. Oh, you got to respect that, don't you?
Yeah.
Living life on the edge.
He's great, but we were also saying that Cavallari, he's made great strides in the last year to fill his shoes.
Well, hasn't he? Yeah. Well, you were saying you weren't a fan in the past.
Was not a big fan at all. But maybe more so the fan, the fact that I didn't like the two holding midfielders thing. Mm-hmm. So he was the second one that I didn't want there. Yeah, but he was great last night.
No, he was. He's had a solid last month. Really.
Yes. And
starting with the game against New Zealand, I think that's when the rest of Australia went, hello, who's this guy?
Yeah, and he put that great ball over the top for Holman to score the winner right at the end, didn't he?
That's it.
Which is great. So there's those guys, obviously. You know, we think Schwarzer will keep playing. Chipperfield said he will keep playing as long as he's wanted by the national team.
Yes, well, both those two should make next year's Asian Cup. And then you never know what will happen after that.
Yeah, that's right.
I'd be happy to have Schwarzer next World Cup if he keeps up his consistency, which I can't see him drop him. Although I think Chipperfield might be a bit too old, but I think he just wants to prove everyone wrong.
He seems intent on being the first player to ever play in a World Cup with a walking frame.
Yeah, well, it's a fair call, isn't it?
Yeah, which would be great. Although, you know, surely if someone kicks the ball in his frame, he'll get sent off for frame ball.
Frame ball, yeah. Terrible new rule ball in there.
He framed the ball, yeah. Mm. of course, Brazil, they're allowed to hit the ball in with their frames, and that's fine.
Yeah, that's it. By the way, you just got your status back as the old dad joke teller.
Oh, did I? Yeah. Well, I'm glad. I'm sorry I lost it to that 5-minute period that you had it. Of course, on the subject of, you know, what we're not allowed to do that every other team at the World Cup is allowed to do, Philipp Lahm made a great save last night for Germany off the line.
Amazing. Maybe he could be our next keeper
in
the World Cup.
Using his arm to push the ball away and save a certain goal. And, of course, Harry Kewell was sent off for that same offence.
Well, the thing is, it was exactly the same as Harry Kewell's thing, except Lahm actually leant into it.
Yeah. No, it was bizarre to see.
And again, that would have put Garner in front with a penalty, and everything could have been a lot different.
Yeah.
Again, hearsay though, let's not get into that.
Yeah. Well, you kind of have to get it in.
Let's have a little bit of a Lucas Neal.
If you're not... Yeah, we're not whingers.
He spent too long in England, I think.
Yeah, if you're not going to have a whinge about what-ifs in football, you're not going to have anything to talk about the pub.
Yeah,
that's this whole debate about technology. Should they use goal-line technology? And if they do, would it be boring because you're going to get every decision right all the time? So, I don't know. Last night's other action in the other group was England and USA progressed by virtue of 1-0 wins. Both very nervy wins.
England's was very shaky, though. It helped them. They got off to a great start. Defoe with his first touch.
That settled the nerves a lot, didn't it?
And then, but as soon as that went in, you really thought, okay, England have this. It's whether they're going
to
score more.
It's theirs
more.
To lose, yeah.
Yeah. And you know, they didn't exactly look exciting. I think they only had really three real chances, you said before, in the whole game.
Yeah, Defoe had another chance and Rooney hit the post. But, you know, it would have been nervy for them nil-nil with 20 minutes to go. And Matthew Upson made a terrific challenge with only a couple of minutes to go.
Didn't he? That was great.
That was unbelievable. So well done, Matty.
USA's was a lot more unnerving, but if they didn't get the goal at the end, it would have been considered unlucky just because the amount they dominated.
Yeah, we said, and not just that game, but the game before as
well. The game before, yeah, where they had the goal disallowed when it was perfectly legit.
And they had one disallowed last night as well.
It was also Clint perfectly Dempsey, legit,
which was
yeah.
fine. He was onside so, as well.
We said
so.
Before, yeah, Australia and USA are vying for the title of,
of the most unlucky team at the World Cup. Yeah that's right.
Referees and stuff. It's a bit of a shame, but they've pulled through it.
Done well.
We almost did.
Well, we were heroic. We were great. I was really proud. I was on the radio again this morning for ABC, and they said, what are your feelings? And I said, well, obviously we're shattered, but I think that we're all proud of the way the boys play. We did the best we could. So that's the general feeling. We've got some corkers of some matchups in the round of 16 now, don't we? Uruguay-Korea, that's going to be a great game. USA-Ghana, that'll be good too. And then the two big ones I can't wait for, Argentina-Mexico. That's going to be huge.
It's going to be crazy.
And the oldest and the most bitter, in Europe probably, is Germany and England.
How good's it going to be?
Yeah. And I really fancy the Germans to knock off England because England have been terrible.
They have been terrible. And Germany, very solid. Once they reach knockout stages in World Cups, you generally don't see them leave until semi-finals.
That's right, yeah.
But no, look, so far our four round 16 matchups, USA versus Ghana aside, the three of them are going to be huge matches, like really very, very good matchups. And even the USA-Ghana match could turn to something good.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I think they both play similar kind of styles, really, don't they? Ghana have really kind of taken their foot off the gas a little bit this tournament. They're not as attacking as they normally would
be. No, like their defence, they've only conceded two. They've only scored two penalties or something.
Yeah, that's
like
right,
They only scored two penalties. So it'd be interesting to see how they go against USA.
Yeah.
USA have this problem. They are generally good defence, a counter-attacking team. That's why they've had these problems in the last two matches, because they're playing teams are expected to dominate.
Yeah.
They're not used to dominating sort of football. So it'd be interesting to see how they play against Ghana.
It could be just like two teams, it could be a staring contest.
Could be a staring contest.
Waiting for the other one to blink. Yeah.
Until Landon Donovan does something crazy like he always does.
Yeah. His goal against Slovenia was great, wasn't it? There was just nothing else on. He just blasted it up into the roof of the net.
That's it. He was going along the byline and said, oh, what am I going to do? Look for a pass, no teammate. You know what I'll do? I'll just score.
Yeah.
It was such a crazy shot.
And the keeper just had
no chance at all. I just jumped up out of my chair. I couldn't believe it.
It was a terrific goal, yeah. And Mike Bradley's goal, the equaliser, that was like vintage sort of Lee Bowyer arriving late in the penalty area and a controlled finish. He was leaning back. He was running it at full pace. Sorry, and to make sure he got that on target was a great finish.
Yeah, well, the thing he's done that before in other competitions. Like he does it. He just comes in.
Who does he play for?
It's a German team. It's like Borussia Mönchengladbach or something. It's
Borussia Gladbach.
Yes. Because he played against one of his teammates.
There's an old joke that who's the most unpopular man on the terraces at Borussia Mönchengladbach? The bloke who yells out, "Give me a B." Because they have to spell out Borussia Mönchengladbach.
Really, is that why it's funny? Thanks, Jack.
Yeah, no worries.
I love Michael Bradley because in the fantasy football, nobody knows him, so he's one of the cheapest buyers in the world in the whole comp. But if you watch the USA beforehand, you know he scores a lot.
You love your artificial football, don't you? Your fantasy football and your football manager, that's how you know all your players.
Oh, no, don't give me that, because I know people who only know their players through FM.
Oh,
and
really?
It shits me to tears. Just like the player you're talking about who only knows their people from FIFA. The guys
on the last podcast. Yeah.
It's, I know obscure players from the artificial football, but no, I know most of my research. So.
Yeah, those FIFA blokes shit me because, like, when you see a bloke go through on goal and I yell out shoot and they yell out circle. Yeah, that's when you know you're dealing with someone.
One triangle.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So we're excited about that. The Argentina game, it's just got corker of a game written all over it, doesn't it? Because Mexico have been great and Argentina have been great.
Well, that's it. Both sides. I can't see either of the side sitting back and defending.
No.
Mexico's going to go nuts.
Wasn't it brilliant?
Argentina's going to go nuts.
Wasn't it brilliant? The Uruguay-Mexico game. it was the same sort of scenario as the Germany-Ghana game last night, where both teams, a draw would have done them to go through. Whereas last night, Germany and Ghana both sort of said, look, let's just not thump each other. We both go through. That suits us. Whereas in the Uruguay-Mexico game, they were both just going hell for leather. It was a great game.
Well, that's the thing. You know, a draw would have guaranteed them both.
Yeah.
But if one of them had lost, it wasn't guaranteed.
That's right. It came down to the other result.
You know, you'd think that they'd go, all right, let's just play this one out. But they both went for it, didn't they?
Yeah, that
they
was great.
They didn't know any other way, and it made for one of the matches of the tournament.
But doesn't that teach you a lesson, like Pim Verbeek, that, you know, that's the way they play, so stick to it? If they changed it, they probably would have copped a hiding. Mm, so,
yeah, if they changed the way they've played for their whole qualification campaign, they're not
going to
be used to it.
Last night, Ned Zelich was saying, you know, well, look, we all learned from it. Pim learned his lesson after the first game. You know, do we need... You know, does our coach have to be learning his trade while we're at the World Cup? Like,
I don't know what you're saying.
Yeah. Zeljko Kalac came out and said after the game, let's not talk what ifs. What if I'd been a striker instead of a goalkeeper in my career? I wish you had, Zeljko. Wouldn't have had to watch you.
Yeah, I know. I always defend the old Zeljko. Yeah. He made the one blunder for soccer against Croatia.
He was awful every time he played for Australia.
But, yeah. His clubbed career was amazing.
He was a farce. Well, he played Piacenza and then got signed as AC Milan's backup keeper and got a game when Dido was terrible.
Now. When AC Milan were World Club champions, he, just after that tournament, he was their number one keeper for 6 months until he got injured. So he was number one keeper for the world's number one team for a 6 month period.
Oh, yeah. See, I still think that he's not that good.
Oh, well, I'm a fan. This is something we disagree on, which is rare.
What are your thoughts on Zeljko Kalac? Email us at info@thefootballsack.com or Twitter us @thefootballsack on Twitter and tell us what you think.
Facebook as well.
We've had a few people on the Facebook site, which is
good.
Yeah,
people are starting to get on the Facebook there. The wall's building up with a lot of comments. So,
yeah.
If you're not there, get into it. Everyone has a Facebook.
Yeah, everyone. Yeah. Do they?
I'm going to say yes.
Yeah. Everyone who's got this podcast, surely.
Surely.
That's that covered. Let's get into some of the correspondence since we're on the topic. We asked in the last podcast for anyone who was game to put in a match prediction before the game and have it read out after the game to see if you look silly or brilliant on the show.
We had a bit of both, didn't we? And brilliant.
Yeah, we had Axiom Blackman from Melbourne said that on Facebook. He said Australia would win 3-2, so not far off.
He also called the Germans to win 2-1 in that game.
Did he? So he had the results right.
Yeah.
Niall Farrell, and I should apologise to Niall, actually, before we move on. Last week I said that we had a new leader for our furthest away listener, and he's in Dublin, and it was Niall Farrell. I called you Niall Fenton. I apologise for that, Niall. So it is Niall Farrell listening from Dublin, and he tweeted saying 1-1 for the Australia game. So close.
But no cigar.
A little bit negative for my liking there, Niall. Backpage Football, a website based in Ireland, who one of our writers, Neil Sherman, is the co-editor for. They tweeted us and said Serbia's 2-0, so boo.
Boo. Shove it up, yeah.
That's right. You look stupid and you deserve it. And Neil Sherman himself tweeted in, maybe it was Hedgie's bets because he tweeted and said Australia 2-1. So even if it was the other way around, he would have claimed that he was part of it.
Yes.
And so he nailed it. Well done, Neil.
Well done, Neil. We only have 40 journalists on the football sack.
Yeah, Kirsty Beck from Sydney tweeted us and said, I was wrong with my prediction last time, so I'm just going to say that Australia will do us proud with their performance, which they did, but be careful, Kirsty, you'll get splinters if you keep sitting on the fence.
Ooh.
We haven't got a lot of time to get through all our interaction. We'll just go through a few of them. Matt Connellan from Sydney tweeted us and said, I must say, guys, I very much look forward to your updates, and especially your trivia, talking about the trivia that we do on Twitter each night during the World Cup. So if you're on Twitter, find us at the Football Sack, and we Twitter trivia during the matches about the teams that are in progress.
That's it, TFS trivia. We're still getting new readers every night, new... people who
followers.
Followers, yeah. It's good. Keep it up.
He says, keep the good work up. So thank you, Matt. We appreciate that. Clyde Jones from Perth has asked via Twitter, pretty please for a shout out. And you've written here, ask and you shall receive, Clyde. So
just for you.
Well done, Clyde. And Stefan Rustin, our Auckland listener and Twitterer and writer now. Mm. I tweeted him and said, we'd love to get your thoughts on the New Zealand performance at this World Cup and your expectations for the A-League, for the Phoenix, you know, keep in touch. And he wrote back with a fantastic sort of article.
Yeah, a full-blown article.
Yeah, so we put it on the website in a guest section. So you can read his contribution on the website with our first ever guest-submitted article. So, and if you have a guest-submitted article, if you've got something you're a bit passionate about and you maybe can't fit it onto your 150 characters on your tweet, and you want to get in touch, info@thefootballsack.com, and if it's good and we like it, we'll throw it on the website.
Yeah, no, that's it. Get yourself heard.
Yeah. Let's go domestic matters. In the A-League, we've got Melbourne Heart continue to add to their squad. They've got... Is it Gauramanji Singh or something?
Yeah, Gauramanji Singh.
Yeah, he's come for a trial. He's injured.
Yeah, 2-week trial. Central defender. He's only 24, but has 21 international caps. Though I'm not sure
how. Mighty India, yeah.
Mighty India. Huge population, not a big soccer-playing population.
Yeah, that's right.
He's played well for them, though. He's got the best defender in the Indian I-League. How original. A-League. he is a very key player in their qualification for the AFC Champions League. It'll be interesting to see how they go. I'd love to see him go well, although I can't...
Yeah, but you don't want anyone to be a dud, do you?
Yeah. I can't pretend I know anything about him, though.
Even with Football Manager? You've never managed in the I-League or Football Manager?
No, I've obviously deprived myself of a great joy.
Yeah, I can't see him being a massive success. Yeah. Just the fact, I think if it was any good, he'd probably be picked up by a club by now.
Yeah, well, that's it. Well, this could be the club. Yeah, only 24.
Good point. Yeah, good point. All right, yeah. Again, I'll accept that.
I said he's pretty good skillfully, apparently. It's just going to be, even the Melbourne Heart coach, John Vanderchip, he said it's going to be a struggle probably for him to get used to the physicality
of the league.
You
know, yeah,
you can imagine he's probably quite a fine player, as in fine body. So, skinny.
Fine body. That's a very strange description. He's got a fine body.
Fine body.
Moving
along.
Maybe, yeah, for your sake, let's move on very quickly. Sydney FC continued their preseason build-up. They had a 1-0 win over the MacArthur Rams with a last-minute goal to Dimitri Petratos.
Yes, very last-minute. 90th minute, in fact, of course.
Well, compared to
the 80th last-minute goal you can get. Scott Jamieson, Nicky Carl, Mark Bridge all got some
game time.
Game time.
Yeah.
Hey, they tried a couple trialists and don't have their names here, but everything's looking good for the Sky Blues.
Apparently. Yeah, well, it's 2-2 now, isn't it?
Yeah.
With their preseason results. Obviously, you don't read too much in the results, but it's great for confidence for the squad.
That's it, yeah. Got to get the preseason fitness.
Yeah, it's great to see, like you said, the big signings there. Nick Carr and Scott Jamieson get some more game time. The Central Coast Mariners had a draw with Bankstown City, 2-2.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, strange one. Out of the four goals, three were penalties.
Yeah, yeah. And for the goal scorers for the Mariners from the spot were Daniel McBreen and new signing Oliver Bosanic.
From on contract with Reading, wasn't he?
He was at Reading. Has had loans spells with Woking, Cheltenham Town, and Aldershot.
So all the high profile clubs.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, Shane Smeltz was playing lower leagues than Aldershot a couple of years ago, so yeah.
So if Bosnich doesn't end up scoring against Italy in the World Cup next time, he's a bit of a failure.
If he doesn't, it means he was playing too high a division.
cool.
Yeah, look,
Bosnich, if you're listening, we don't mean it.
He's 21. I think I've got high hopes. As well.
I think a good signing. Yeah, any real signing that's just spent a few years over in Europe in the A-League,
it has to
be seen as a positive.
Well, everyone, it raises the overall standard. Yeah, ever high, yeah.
Even if they don't play well, great. They'll bring professionals into the club.
Yeah, that's right, yeah, in terms of training and the way they approach the game, exactly, the way they take care of themselves.
Attitude as well as performance.
Yeah. Of course, Central Coast Mariners should soak up all the good football and results they get in pre-season, because Graham Arnold will be back to take the reins shortly, and that's where it will end.
Ooh. Yeah, no. Although, I'd rather Graham Arnold than Laurie McKenna. I'm going to say that.
What?
Yeah. I'm
really?
Not a big fan. Not a big
Laurie
fan.
McKenna, he's one of the most successful coaches in the history of the A-League.
Yeah, by playing disgusting football.
Oh, gee, yeah, but Graham Arnold's going to play disgusting football and lose. What would you rather?
A clean slate.
We got any Central Coast Mariners fans who listen to the show? If you're a Mariner, a Marinator, and you're would like to hear your thoughts on Graham Arnold. Are you happy, sad? Are you like me and you're tearing your hair out that this bloke could get a job? Or are you like Christian where you're optimistic and you're happy to see the back of Laurie McKenna? Email us at info@thefootballsack.com and let us know your thoughts.
Again, on the same regard, though, as good as I was happy as I was to see the back of McKenna, I would have rather they got a continental European coach in.
Yeah.
Just like the Fury.
I just
like
don't
Sydney.
Think they're raising the bar at all.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, okay. Yeah. They've probably gone to an... They've kept the same level.
Yeah.
When they had the chance to get rid of the coach to better themselves. Yeah. I mean, North Queensland, have to give them full credit. They don't have much salary cap. They don't have much of a squad. But they probably have the top three coach in the A-League now. With John Vanderschip and...
Vyacheslav Lavitska.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, Ernie Merrick as well.
Ernie Merrick.
The most successful coach.
Again, successful, but not...
I don't know. They play some good stuff sometimes, Melbourne.
They can.
They're unlucky with injuries as well. Mm. When Archie Thompson's fit, they play some pretty good stuff.
Yeah, okay.
And Carlos Sanders, when Fred was here, they were great to watch. Mm. So, I sympathise with Ernie. I think he's good.
Yeah, okay.
He's good. It's funny that I think in terms of actually playing good football, the best coach in the A-League is Miron Blyberg. From his time at Brisbane, he was great.
Oh, at Brisbane,
Queensland Raw, he was terrific. And Gold Coast last year, they were great at times.
First half
of the season, anyway.
Okay, Gold Coast last year, they had a really good start, but then they started playing to a plan which was a bit dated. Their plan was tack down the wings, put crosses in, hope for a result.
Yeah,
when defences have evolved, 5 years ago that was the way to score.
Yeah.
Defences have now evolved. And they can deal with crosses all day long. Yeah. They can lap that up.
In four crosses was a header. And if you had a good header of the ball on the end of it, it was a goal.
It's closer. Yeah. It's closer. No joke. 1 to 15, 1 to 20 now.
Yeah.
The whole big thing now is, of course, cutting in on the inside, which is then giving you a chance to put a pass into the box or to have a shot yourself.
Yeah.
It took a long time for Blyberg to adjust to that. That's why they had that really poor final third of the season,
yeah.
I think. You know, it's... Yeah, so I think hope I'm not Blyberg's biggest fan.
Really?
Yeah.
I like him.
At Raw,
his press conferences alone are enough reason to keep him in the league.
At Raw, he went okay at Raw. His problem was he had a very, very young squad. He didn't have the experienced heads there. That's what let him down.
Yeah.
At Gold Coast, he's actually got a really good mix. He's learned from his lesson.
He's got a great
squad.
I think they've got
the best
squad.
He's got lots and lots of youth, but with the experienced heads.
Yeah.
So they don't lose themselves. He just needs to get back onto the modern tactical bandwagon rather than 5 years ago. And then Gold Coast, there's no reason why they can't succeed. And, as much as I like, because the whole Clive Palmer episode, you got a little bit of a negative vibe towards Gold Coast, it would be great to see them do well and draw crowds.
Oh, yeah, look, I want them to do well. Mm. I don't really like Clive Palmer and the way he's approached the league. But I really do want Gold Coast to be successful because it's all set up so well for them up there. Great facilities,
yes.
Great area of the world. You know, their potential to draw players
on location alone.
On location alone, plus Clive Palmer, is the best in the A-League. I think it's right up there with Sydney. So I'd love to see them in that. What is it, Robina? It's about 24,000 seat stadium or something like that.
Yeah, it's about half a Suncorp. It's just a Suncorp stadium.
So, I'd love to see them getting 18,000 up there and really have a great atmosphere. But
it'd be good. You went to the Fulham game. I went to the Fulham game.
Yeah, what was the crowd there? It was about 10 or 12. And so the ground was about half full.
Yeah, and that was good.
It was a good atmosphere, yeah. Great,
yeah, especially when Gold Coast started scoring.
Yeah, two late goals. Oh, the noise when Smelt scored the winner was terrific. It was a great roar. Yeah. So
everyone had a great time.
Yeah. I deliberately sat with the Fulham fans in that one. So it was a great atmosphere.
Well, I rocked up late and we didn't... just before the game with a carload of people. We decided to go literally half an hour before the game. Just in time to drive from here to there.
Yeah.
And we got there and we just decided to sit in the Gold Coast supporters area because they were the cheapest seats there was.
Oh, really?
And this was before the beach started.
Yeah.
And so there was literally like, 30-40 people in the whole area, which is great. But now, of course, it's packed with the yellow shirts.
Yeah, they're good up there. What do they call themselves? The beach. Beach,
which is a bit, but I guess it's, what everyone has their name.
Because in the A-League, we've got some strange, we've got the Cove, the Cove's a great
name. The Cove's a great name. Yeah. We have the Glory Shed up at Perth.
The Glory Shed or the Shed? Because the Shed's the stand.
Yeah, because it's actually got a roof on it. Yeah. They call themselves the Glory Shed. And there's another group there. I think they have two in there. There's one's the Glory Boys and one's something else.
Yeah. Righto.
correct me if I'm wrong.
The Glory Boys.
Yeah, well, they were set up back then. Correct me if I'm wrong, Perth listeners.
Yeah.
You got
the Marinators at Central Coast. You got the Squadron at Newcastle. Yeah, so the Jets.
The Den, is it that Raw?
The Lions.
Yeah, they call themselves 338 because it's the section they sit in.
Oh, is it the section of Suncorp Stadium, righto? What else we got? North Queensland. What are they? The Green Army or something like that. Yeah.
The Heart have a new one. I did know what they were because I was looking at their website not too long ago.
What's the Victories?
Victories. I have no idea.
Yeah.
No. Oh well.
That's interesting. And Adelaide, do they have one?
I'm sure they would. Last Matty G, he's attended a few games there. He's a Sydney FC supporter. So
controversy.
Apparently he likes Hindmarsh Stadium. So he was very excited when we said we're going there.
Everyone who's been to Hindmarsh says it's the best one to watch football at because you're the closest to the action out of any ground in Australia, aren't you? Because it's the only football purpose ground in Australia that was built just for football.
Just for football.
Which is great. But do we get to go to the new one in Melbourne?
We do. Our first game.
Oh, is it?
It is.
Yeah, yeah. For those of you who don't know what we're talking about, we're doing the A-League Challenge. We haven't really named it yet.
Well, we put it. We asked people to name it, but we haven't got any entries in yet.
Yeah, no. We had a few. One bloke said the Star because if you follow our route around Australia to all the games, it makes almost a star shape. Yeah.
Someone also suggested it actually looks like an A.
An A.
An A,
so,
yeah.
A League.
If you want to have A. If you want to have a look, go to our website. On our front page, there's a map of Australia. You'll see it with the star or the A on it. Click on that. It'll show you all our details.
Yeah.
And if you happen to be in one of the cities that we're going to, let us know and we'll catch up with you for a beer and a little chat.
Yeah, yeah. We're doing 11 teams in 9 days.
Yes, all 11 A-League teams play in the space of 9 days.
All over Australia.
Six cities and... it's going to be quite good.
It's going to be great.
We'll be very tired by the end of it, but it'll be very, very worth it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, like you just said, if you support one of those teams and you're going to be at the match that we're going to, which you can check out our itinerary, and if you fancy getting in touch and having a beer and a chat about your team, we'd love to hear from someone who goes week in, week out. So that'll be great. Check that out. And in terms of something awesome, let's move on to our competition that we're running at the moment through the footballsack.com and this podcast, and also our co-founder Matty G. The Football Sack is giving its Sydney readers and listeners the chance to win two tickets to the Wednesday night preview of the new musical Beauty, a modern interpretation of the classic fairy tale of Sleeping Beauty. It's running from July the 7th to the 21st at Nida Parade Theatre in Kensington. It's a fantastic night of music theatre. It stars the Football Sack's own Matt Greenlaw, as I said, the Four Kinsmen's Scott Radburn, nine-time Emmy Award winner Stephen Fish King, Lizzie Taylor, who's an eight-time Emmy Award winner. And it's a great way, as you said, to make up to your partner, wife or husband for all those late nights of watching the football and having the TV on.
That's it. I'll have to credit to Maddie for that line.
Oh, was it? Okay, brilliant. For your chance to win tickets to this, you can simply write to us in 25 words or less about your best 2010, this World Cup, FIFA World Cup moment so far at info@thefootballsack.com. And it doesn't have to be something from the field. It can be something, tell us about your lack of sleep, your new sleeping habits if you have some, pub adventures, FIFA fan stories if you've been, something like that. So funny stories you've heard throughout the tournament.
Send us whatever you can, something makes us laugh or something really interesting.
25 words or less, the best thing about the FIFA World Cup. If you could say it in one line, what's been your highlight so far?
My highlight? Oh, one word or one line?
Oh, let's do one word. That'd be interesting.
One word.
I'm going to say Dominic.
Dominic, yeah. Yes. Oh, I'm going to say, what if? One word.
Yeah, maths never your strongest point. Yeah.
But yeah, so there's about a week and a half left to go to that competition, because I think the show's in two or three.
Sorry, say again?
I think the show's in two weeks.
July 7th, so yeah, 2 weeks.
Yeah, so we'll probably a week and a half for that competition. So you've probably
got three podcasts left to get in touch with us.
Yeah, so you got your time, but get your entries in early, and because you know you might come up with something better and send another one in. So
yeah,
why not?
Good point.
So you won't limit your entries. Talking about sleeping habits, I got a point out the other day. I don't sleep a single minute at night. I wake up in the afternoon. I watch all the matches and I go to sleep after sunrise.
Yeah, well, because you've sort of done a lot of work for a nightclub in Byron Bay just before we started this World Cup thing, so you're kind of in the groove.
That's it. I was in the right body clock to begin with, because I just I left the nightclub about a week before the World Cup started.
Yeah,
in preparation for uni as well. So
it
worked out well for me. So I didn't have to do too much adjusting, but I'm thinking I'm waking up a bit. I'm going to bed a bit too late now, so I'm going to have to try to change that.
It's going
to
be interesting trying to phase it back. But
yeah, because we have to go back to uni before the World Cup ends, don't we?
Oh, what are we, 3 or 4 days away from that? So.
Yeah, so that's not going to be a welcome change.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's life.
Enough about us.
Yeah.
Enough from us.
We're getting the wind-up, so thanks once again for tuning in. We'll be back. What day of the week is it?
It's Thursday, so we'll be back on Monday.
Yes. And we'll have a very good idea by that stage. We'll know who all the second round matchups
are. We'll know who all the second round matches up, yeah. And we'll be able to go through our groups. We'll see how our predictions went.
Yes, yes.
Interesting, we'll go through and that. Scary.
Yes, and embarrassing.
Yes.
Thanks very much for listening to the show. I've been your host, Jack Quigley. That's been Christian Leyland.
Goodbye, everyone.
See you next time.